that the Vineyard Church also gave me a very generous donation, and I'm very thankful for that and appreciative. Now, I don't know how many of you were here when Brother Augustine and Vija were here in June. So not a lot of you. Okay. Well, I went to India to meet up with Brother Augustine and his lovely wife, Vija. And they're an Indian couple, and Vaughn has known them for many years. And actually, Vaughn has gone several times to India to minister with them, and also his oldest daughter, Alice. And so I went with two people from New York, Anton Welbrock, who is also a long-term friend of Pastor Vaughn, and a Pastor Charles Catterall. He's a pastor in Newburgh, and he's been in the New York area for 1 year. Now, going over there, my journey was quite long. It took like a little over 30 hours from my door to their door, and 34 hours coming home. So I was quite tired. Yeah, it was exhausting. So when we arrived, it was over after midnight, and everything was kind of quiet and whatnot. And the next day, when I ventured out, the first thing that struck me was the amount of people and the traffic. I really have no way to describe it. India has a population of 1.1 billion people compared to the United States, which has a little less than 300 million. And India is also about United States is about three times the size of India. So that kind of tells you that it's very heavily populated. And I guess the one word to describe the traffic would be chaos. You're sharing the road with cattle, rickshaws, motorized rickshaws, bicyclists, motorbikes, and trucks and cars. And there is no rhyme or reason to how they move. It's just constant in and out, in and out. And it's just a real amazing that we did not get in an accident. But being the adventurer that I am, I found it quite exciting. So that was one of the things that was very different from our culture. And the other thing was the bathroom situation. I was a little bit aware of that, but not fully. The bathrooms there are in the ground. There was Western bathrooms. The hotel rooms that we stayed at, thank God, had Western bathrooms. But they only have like a spigot coming out of the wall and a bucket for water, and there's no toilet paper. So that's what they do there. There's no toilet paper, and I'm very thankful. I came back just praising God for Western toilets and toilet paper. And in case you're wondering, yes, half of my suitcase was filled with toilet paper. I was already forewarned, and I brought it with me. Don't leave home without it. Praise God. Now, the weather there, I just want to touch on this just briefly because Diana's in the congregation here, so she'll appreciate this. The weather was very lovely during the day, 80 degrees, but it got a little chilly in the evening time. So being the person that I am today, I have four layers on my top and two layers on the bottom. I brought my insulated underwear to India. And yes, I'm very happy I brought them. It was a little chilly at night, and I know I'm bizarre, but it worked for me, praise God. So, I just want to touch on a few questions that people have asked me. And a couple of them were, you know, how could you go to Africa and India? And they were very sincere questions, let me say. At a time like this, when your husband's out of work and it's a long time to leave your children. And also, what did you find there when you went? And what did you experience? Well, I have to say I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 to 9, and I don't think I'm going to read, I'll just turn to it, but in that portion of scripture, Moses is talking to the Israelites, and he's reminding them of how the Lord delivered them out of the land of slavery and redeemed them and just took them away from Pharaoh, their enemy. And he reminded them that He didn't set his affection on them because they were a great number of people, but it was because he loved them and that he swore an oath to their forefathers. And of course, their forefathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he went on to say, you know that God is God and he is faithful. And he keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, which is forever. to those that obey and love him. And you know, Pastor Vaughn said about Christmas, to make it personal. Well, that scripture became personal to me because that covenant of love is for each and every one of us. In Galatians 3:29, it says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, that covenant is ours. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant. He died on the cross and shed his blood, was buried 3 days and three nights, and rose again for you and me. And that's good news. And that became very personal to me. I don't have time to share my personal testimony, but what I will tell you is, and Dave and a few of you know, I was immersed in a lot of different sin. And the Lord just poured out his love, mercy, and grace upon me when I didn't deserve it. And I heard him call me. I got deliverance, actually, here at Vineyard. I got touched in a very, very powerful way. And shortly after that, I heard him speak to my heart that one day I would go to different countries and share the gospel. Now, truthfully, I'd forgotten all about that. Pastor Vaughn, I don't know if some of you remember, even prophesied that I would go to the nations in February at the Elijah class. Still didn't think of it. But I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit speaking to me to go to Africa and to go to India. And then I found a piece of paper. I was going over all my old Vineyard notes from years ago, and I found that piece of paper of what the Lord had spoken to me. And I knew I was hearing the Lord's voice. So even though I had fears on the inside and pressures on the out, I knew, and I became just fully persuaded that if he was telling me to go, that he would provide for me and that he would empower me to face every giant and every challenge that I would face. And I did face a lot of them. It was challenging, definitely. It got stretched quite a bit. So I praise God. That's why I went. It was not an easy time or a convenient time. But I had a choice whether to trust him and obey him or shrink back. And I've shrunk back many times in my life. And I've just decided this year, I can't do that anymore. You know, I am excited about what God is doing in this whole earth, but what he's going to be doing here also. And this love, this powerful love, this covenant of love that he poured down upon me, knowing full well I didn't deserve it, that's the love I saw in India. And I saw it in many different ways. I saw his hand move sovereignly. I saw him move through my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that probably touched me the most. And move through us as we were ministering. So I just have to tell you that I am excited. Over there, we went to the state of, I have a hard time saying this, I don't know why, but Andhra Pradesh. It's in South India. The official language of India is Hindi, but where we went, they speak Telugu. And there's revival happening there. There's a belt, like if you can imagine like India here, and this is the West, there's a strip like this where Augustine said there's revival going on. And it is really amazing just the numbers that are being added to the church over there. Actually, Augustine said that Muslims, 1 million Muslims, have come to the Lord in the past year or two. Wow. Sovereignly, because Jesus Christ is appearing to them. He loves them. I just want to talk a little bit about the crusade. It was indescribable. I have to say there was such a spirit of excellence on it. Augustine teamed up with a Paul Prasad from Amen Ministries, and they spent months beforehand going door to door and telling people about this. It was a big deal because the speaker was a Brahmin, which was like the highest caste system, and he had come to the Lord. And he's the son-in-law of the state premier. And that would be kind of, I guess, like our governor, the son-in-law of our governor, holding a major crusade in our area. So they went door to door to each house to tell people about this. The first night, I think there was over 130,000 people. And by the last night, there was over 230,000 people.
Wow.
Most of them were practicing Hindus. Amazing. I looked out over the crowd, and all I could hear was, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. All these Hindus, desperate. You know, they have, what, 3 million gods and all these idols, and you'll see it as you're driving down the street, all these temples and idols all over the place. You'll hear them on loudspeakers praising their gods. You'll hear the Muslim call to prayer 5 times a day. And it's also true that sometimes you hear the Christian praise and worship and the gospel going out. We actually did a couple of rooftop meetings where the gospel, whoever was preaching, was going out. It was awesome. But these people were hungry. They're desperate. They live in abject poverty over there, and they really have no hope. They need to cry out to something, otherwise they'll die. And the Lord meant them. I believe, you know, we have no way of knowing how many people gave their heart to the Lord. But I know around me, there were people weeping in the presence of God because God was pouring out his love upon them in a powerful way. The presence of God was just so strong. And the wonderful thing is that because it was done locally, and I say that because a year or two ago, Benny Hinn was there, and 1 million people showed up to his crusade. And this past January, Joyce Myers was there, and 500,000 people were at her meetings. And she actually just set up an office there in June in Hyderabad, which is the capital city and where Vija and Augustine live. But going back to what I was saying, they're actually the local pastors and the local lay people are going to go door to door now and give every Hindu in that in those areas an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord personally. So talk about dedication and laying down your lives. That's what I saw there. The people are so hungry, and then my brothers and sisters and your brothers and sisters in Christ over there, they're doing everything just to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And they're sacrificing their time, their money, everything. And it was just an amazing sight to see. Now I just want to talk a little bit about how I saw the Lord moving through the people over there. One thing, as I told you, there's a lot of poverty. You'll drive down the road and see naked people on the side of the road. And they're just standing there, squatting, going to the bathroom. They have nothing. They're skin and bones. But the people that we met were just so generous. And I'm thinking of one time in particular. We went to this village to preach. And this one meeting, it was a village of untouchables. And it was a late night meeting. And afterward, the pastor, you know, which was pretty common, wanted us to come and eat at their home. And we went there. And their home was a little bit bigger than the woman's bathroom. The thatched roof that was falling in. When it rains, the rain pours in. All they had was a bed, some shelves with pots and pans, and a little cook space. They don't have ovens there. Maybe the real rich do, but I didn't see anyone with an oven. They just have like what reminded me of like those camp stoves with the burners. And they were just so gracious. They cooked us a meal and fed us, and they were so happy and willing to serve us. And it just really, really touched me. And I asked Augustine later, like, how much would it be in U.S. dollars to really give them a sound home? And he said, well, something that wouldn't be too much bigger, but it would be cement, would be about 1,500 U.S. dollars, which to us is nothing. It's really a drop in the bucket. But to them, it's everything. Another thing that I found amazing was just their dedication to prayer. There are praying people once they get converted. When the Hindus, Vija said, don't really pray, but they praise a lot. But once they get converted, they're really dedicated to prayer. And I was just so touched. We went into this one village with a pastor, Daniel. And he came with us to the Kakinada Crusade. So his brother from northern India came and took over his church. But we went to bring him back to his home. And we dedicated his house. And his brother was saying how in his village, every Friday night, they have all-night prayer meetings. And you know what? They're praying for America. They love us over there. They realize that how important we are, because people are still being persecuted heavily. I just shared with a friend several weeks ago how my heart was so stirred when I was over there. Like, really, I have a heart more for Muslim and Hindus. I didn't know too much about them. And I would really like to go back to northern India and perhaps go to a place where another man's foundation hasn't been laid that much, where the gospel hasn't been preached that much. And she looked at me and she said, you know, this Pastor Abraham that they know, he comes to Pastor Don Moore's church. He knows a young girl, 17, 18 years old, like a year or two, was confronted by hostile Hindus and asked to renounce Jesus. And she refused. So they chopped her up in bits. So the persecution is still going on over there. So these people are looking to America, and they're so thankful for us. But they spend every Friday night in this one village praying for us. It really made me think about my own prayer life, you know? It was very humbling, very humbling. Vija and Augustine, right? Augustine and Vija, wonderful couple. They're totally dedicated to preaching the gospel and to helping the churches and the pastors. And they have an amazing ministry that really expands much of the state. We did so much traveling when we were over there. So much traveling. We went, like, where Hyderabad is, we traveled. Well, we took an airplane ride, but driving it would have been 9 hours and then another hour to Kakinada. We drove 8 hours south, and we went to villages in between. And then from Hyderabad, we went west an hour or two. And all in between are people and churches that they have touched because they've preached the gospel. And people get saved, and they go out and preach, and more people get saved. So their ministry is so expansive, and they pour everything. They don't own anything. They live very simply. I stayed at their home for 4 nights. The rest of the time, we were in different hotels because we were traveling. But the people are dedicated. They just give everything for the cause of Christ, you know, and that includes food and clothing. But they use every opportunity to preach. As a matter of fact, I was there. It was quite humbling at a pastor's breakfast. Happy Christmas, they call it. And they use any opportunity, such as Christmas, to invite unsaved people. And then they make sure the gospel gets preached while they might be feeding them and whatever else. And I think the one thing that really touched my heart the most as far as the people over there was the story about Priscilla, which I think is great, her name, Priscilla. And Priscilla was at a meeting that Anton Welbrock preached at years ago. Now, Anton had no idea about this. Okay, so I just want to encourage you. Sometimes we tell people things, we give them words, and we might not see the fruit of it for many years. And perhaps we might not ever see the fruit of it until Jesus Christ returns, you know? But years later, just on this trip, he found out that this woman, Priscilla, was in the meeting. And again, a sovereign move of the love of God, she got convicted and started removing her bangles, which is like a form of idolatry. She received Jesus as Lord. She went to her village, converted the village, and then from that, 30 churches. Wow. These women and men, it doesn't matter, women or men, they just go out and start churches and preach. Now, we went to that village, and Priscilla was just so happy to see Anton. She was delighted to see us all, but especially Anton. And we had that service there, and that was the only service where they still dress in tribal clothes, and actually it was the only place where they danced. I found out that a lot of the Hindus, because I'm like, you know, I jump around and I move, I'm, you know, really demonstrative, and they weren't dancing, and I'm like, oh, what's with this? And Vija said, because they dance so much, when they do the idol worship, they don't feel it's right. They haven't gotten the freedom of that yet, a lot of them. But this one village, they dance, and Anton preached, and we gave a greeting. And prayed for people. And after the service, I'm standing there. And I just hope I don't, you probably really can't understand my heart totally, but try to just picture that poverty that I'm talking about. And these young women and young men surrounded me and started putting money, bills, into my hand. You know, I felt so unworthy. Like, why are you doing this? I should be doing that to you. And it just really made me feel how I felt when Jesus Christ came to me when I was in my sin. He poured out his love so powerfully to me. And I didn't deserve it, and I knew it. And I felt like, no, I can't take this. And that's how I felt with the money. But Anton said, you need to take it. And I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking that to me also. And I took it, and two things came to me, that's the love of God. He pours out his love, mercy, and grace to those who don't deserve it. Who of us deserves it? The word says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I sat there so humbled because it made me think of Peter and how Jesus came to wash Peter's feet. And what did Peter do? Oh, no, not me, Lord. You can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, then you can have no part of me. And then he was like, oh, wash my whole body then, you know? And that's what it felt like. The Lord was saying to me, humble yourself. It takes humility to receive like that. And it wasn't easy. And I sat there weeping. I just totally lost it. And they're smiling and they're looking at me, not understanding why I'm crying. And I'm just like, thank you, you know? I got in the car and I was still crying. And I just wanted to stay there forever. But they were dragging me. Everybody was in the car like, come on. My heart was totally touched. And then the Lord said, you go and do the same now. That's what it's all about. People have asked me, you know, what did you do when you were there? Well, it was a ministry trip. And basically, we got up, ate breakfast, left by 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, went to a meeting that would last 3 or 4 hours. They'll sit there. Pastor Charles preached for 2 hours one day, and then Augustine got up and preached for another hour. They're hungry. They don't look at the watch or the clock. You know, they'll just sit there and listen to whoever wants to get up and speak. It's amazing. And so that's what we did. We went from one meeting. Then in the afternoon, sometimes we would go back to the hotel if it was close enough. Sometimes we drove 4 hours to a meeting, or we would go to somebody's house. I mean, they know so many people, it's incredible. We'd show up at somebody's house and just sleep. They'd say, no, you need to lay down. They'd feed us and rest. And then we'd have maybe 1 or 2 nighttime meetings. If we had 2 nighttime meetings, we would get split up. And that was the trip. We took 1 hour, a little over an hour, at the Bay of Bengal, which was beautiful, very beautiful experience. An hour in a store shopping, and a cathedral in Medic on the second to the last day we were there. Other than that, it was ministry. Now, me personally, you know, and people, we got up to greet and just say a few words. So me personally, 2 to 3 times a day, I would get up and stand in front of people, which was like a major stretch, and say a greeting. Whatever was on your heart, I could share my testimony. I figured that out like after a week after I was there, or give a word. And I preached, I think 3 times, which was enough for me. And did Sunday school. I think that was in the email that you got with 300 children. And that's what it was. That's what it was all about, and praying for a lot of people. I was really stretched. I told you about the pastor's breakfast. Well, I felt so inadequate there. I mean, here I am, just me, with all of these pastors and dignitaries. They invited dignitaries. It was a Christmas party. So they invited the dignitaries because then they would preach the gospel. So these people would hear the gospel. Otherwise, they would never hear the gospel. So again, they made the most of every opportunity to get the word of God out there. But I stood there thinking, Lord, I think you've made a mistake. What am I doing here? You know, these people have been in ministry 20 and 30 years and know how to speak in front of people. So it was a real stretch. And then there's like a little funny ha-ha thing that some of you from my home group especially would appreciate. I was in this one church, minding my own business, up at the altar, and I can't even remember if we had been introduced yet or said our greeting. And there was a commotion, and it kind of went over my head. And Vija looked at me and said, they want you to sing. I'm like, what? See, Elaine is an anointed singer and an anointed worship leader. I'm a worshiper. I'll worship in song. I'll sing out a key loud as can be. I'm not a singer. I don't think I can carry a tune in a bucket if I tried. And I looked at them and I said, no. Oh, I do that a lot. And so they're like, no, come on. And Vija's like, come on, they want you to sing. So I slowly made my way up there. She handed me the mic. And I looked at her and said, you better sing with me. And we both sang a cappella, a worship song. And I just closed my eyes and got into God's presence. But when I went up there, I was like, and they're laughing because I thought I was kidding. But anyway, I made it through. You know? I made it through it. Man, was I stretched. Stretched beyond belief. And maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but 6 months ago, I was in Vaughn's kitchen with my husband. And I told him, there is no way I will ever stand up in front of church at the Vineyard and speak. Never. I am slowly digesting those words right now. It was a time of growth and stretching and just really seeing the hand of God move. And a few things that I got out of that time was one, that I'm really encouraged for my own country. I came back with just an expectation. You know, I know I'm not the only one, but in the spring, Rich wasn't there that day, but at our home group, I shared, Vaughn and Wendy were there, and Rich wasn't there, that I saw a move of God coming across the nation. And I heard a voice saying, get your oil lamps filled to overflowing. And I saw the Spirit of God just pouring out on people, and then the streams of living waters just flowing out of people, touching lives. And I saw it coming across the United States. And when I was there, I picked up a Rick Joyner journal from 2 years ago. And if any of you know Francis Frangipane, he wrote 2 years ago in 2004, watch for India. There's a move of God coming. Pray for India. And that just, I've got so excited because I'm like, yes, it's coming to America. And I believe it's coming to our area. So I do have that expectation. And it's just given me that hope and that excitement just to get on my face and even pray more fervently. So that's one thing I got out of my trip. Of course, my stretching and pulling. My flesh dying. And the other thing was just a renewed sense of that nothing else matters but Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. Before I went to Africa and before I went to India, and I don't know why, but I heard the Lord ask me, are you willing to die for me? Very serious question, one not to take lightly. And I've answered, yes, I am. It took a while to come to that conclusion, but I realized that one day, you know, if Jesus should tarry, we're all going to die. And then what? So we better make the most of every opportunity we have here. Because it's not about us. It's about glorifying Him. And we do that by, you know, He has freely given us so much. We've freely received it, and now we need to give it out. And that's what it's all about. So I just feel that I'm ready to lose my life for His sake, no matter what the cost. And as Pastor Vaughn has said over the past several months, sign that piece of blank paper. And even on my trip, it was a little scary because I did things that I swore I would never do. You know, things within myself I didn't want to deal with. But that's what I got out of my two trips from Africa and India. And I just want to encourage you, I know it's getting late, I just want to encourage you, even if you're not called to missions, if you can, go to a third world country. You know, you'll be stretched and you'll grow, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The power of God's love and the power of his resurrection has changed each and every one of us, even if we're not walking in it. And as we walk in that power of love and power of his resurrection, we can change others. And it's very important. And I was in India, so I just want to leave you with a story before we go into ministry time of Mahatma Gandhi. He was a great leader in India, even though he didn't hold a title or a position. And you know, his heart was turned towards those that were less fortunate. And he went to a church because he had read the New Testament and he liked what he read. And he went to that church and the religious Pharisees turned him away because of what he looked like and because he wasn't Christian. And later Gandhi said this, "If the world would see the Christ of the Christians, they would turn to him and be saved. But sadly, they have seen the Christians of the Christ and have turned away and rejected him." Now think about that. What he's really talking about is the mystery of the gospel in Colossians 1. The mystery of the gospel is this: Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's amazing. And I always, when I get discouraged, I always think about that. Wow, what can't we do if God is telling us to do something? What can't we do? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, that's just amazing. You know, and how many times I take that so lightly. So we're talking about 2007, and I'm just speaking corporately now. But I just pray we can all go into 2007 together, devoted to God, devoted to prayer and to one another, and realize the power of God's love and the power of his resurrection. And that we can go forth and face challenges and meet new opportunities and advance the kingdom of God and change this world one person at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.